Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's readings are from the Common English Bible, beginning with Ezekiel chapter 37. The Lord's power overcame me, and while I was in the Lord's Spirit, he led me out and set me down in the middle of a certain valley. It was full of bones. He led me through them all around, and I saw that there were a great many of them on the valley floor, and they were dry. He asked me, "Human one, can these bones live again?" And I said, "Lord God, only you know." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the Lord's word.' The Lord God proclaims to these bones, 'I am about to put breath in you, and you will live again. I will put sinews on you, place flesh on you, and cover you with skin. When I put breath in you and you come to life, you will know that I am the Lord.' I prophesied just as I was commanded. There was a great noise as I was prophesying, and then a great quaking, and the bones came together, bone by bone. When I looked, suddenly there were sinews on them, then flesh appeared, and then they were covered over with skin, but there was still no breath in them. He said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, human one. Say to the breath, the Lord God proclaims, come from the four winds, breath, breathe into these dead bodies and let them live.' I prophesied just as he commanded me. When the breath entered them, they came to life and stood on their feet, an extraordinarily large company. He said to me, 'Human one, these bones are the entire house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, our hope has perished, we are completely finished. So now prophesy and say to them, the Lord God proclaims, I'm opening your graves. I will raise you up from your graves, my people, and I will bring you to Israel's fertile land. You will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you up from your graves, my people. I will put my breath in you and you will live. I will plant you on your fertile land and you will know that I am the Lord. I've spoken and I will do it. This is what the Lord says." And now from Acts chapter 2. This will be familiar from the Tangram video. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans? Every one of them. How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." You're supposed to laugh there. "Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen."
I have had the privilege a number of times in my life. I have experienced the privilege of proximity. And what I mean by that is just having the privilege to be near people who are strong and remarkable leaders. Quite a while back, I'd say really close to 19 years, I remember it specifically that way because it was right around the time that Cam was born. I had my call to ministry, but I wasn't working in churches yet. And so the way I supported myself and my family at the time, and most of you know this, I worked in IT. And one of the organizations that I supported in terms of technology was the United Methodist Conference Center, which is located in Pasadena, California. And I supported that that organization, among several others. But in doing so, I had the proximity to then-Bishop Marianne Swenson. Well, she's still bishop. She's retired. In fact, I still have a photo of Bishop Marianne holding Cameron as an infant. Wonderful. So I have had the privilege of proximity. Now, this part's a little bit of a flex. But today, right now, in my cell phone, I have the cell phone numbers of 4 different bishops, 2 active and 2 retired. I have the privilege of proximity. Now, one of the things that meant, specifically with Bishop Marianne, there was an event that she wanted to go to. It was a young adult event held at one of our United Methodist camps. Bishop Marianne at the time, and I think this is still true today, didn't own a car. She loved to bike and take public transportation. Great. But to this remote camp, she needed a ride. And I happened to be nearby. The privilege of proximity. I happened to be nearby when she was talking through, "I need to figure out how to get to this camp." I said, "Bishop, I'd be happy. I'd be privileged. It would be a joy to take." Now, then you have the opportunity, as someone called to ministry, I had the opportunity to have a one-on-one conversation with Bishop Marianne. And I asked her, I thought this was a smart question. I don't know if it really is, but I thought this was a smart question. I said, "In your experience, what is the difference? How do you experience ministry differently as a bishop versus as a district superintendent versus as a local church pastor?" I wanted to know. I just find that a curious thing. And she said something wonderfully. She said, "As a pastor, your schedule is weekly. Everything surrounds the weekly worship. As a district superintendent, your sort of cycle is an annual cycle. Everything goes from charge conference season to charge conference season, annual conference season to annual conference season. So it's sort of an annual cycle." She said, as a bishop, it's a quadrennial cycle. Quadrennial meaning every 4 years. Really remembering our United Methodist structure and polity, that is every 4 years we have a general conference, not unlike the one that we just had. I found that interesting. Now, At the time, Bishop Marianne Swenson oversaw the California Pacific Annual Conference, which had 413 churches at the time. Today, the California Pacific Annual Conference has under 400. Three disaffiliated using that process that has now expired, and others have simply shrunk and or closed down. And we have heard the statistics facing the church as a whole, that there seem to be fewer and fewer people in church. And I've heard several folks say that the COVID pandemic really did a number on many churches, this one included, surely. But some of those same voices suggested to me that COVID only accelerated what was already happening. And so we find ourselves in a church feeling connected. Listen, I've gotten to know so many of you over the last 4 years, and I see the joy and the passion and the compassion, the deep faith, the spirituality of this congregation, the wonderful idea of being connected as a church family, which moves me in wonderful ways. You are incredible people, not only you who are worshiping here in the room, but you who join us online faithfully. It's a wonderful congregation to be a part of, and I hear those voices that say, gosh, I think we have a great church family. I wish more people were here. I wish I could share this. And I share that sentiment with you, my friends. I think this is a remarkable church family, and I too would love to see more people gathered here so that we can share this experience with more people. I believe that faith and spirituality and the community that we experience in this place, in this time, I believe it changes us and changes lives for the better. I would love for us to grow in that connection and spirituality and faith and community with each other. And it's hard. It's really hard. Sometimes it feels like we're trying to talk to that valley of dry bones. As we talk to the world, as we proclaim our faith and spirituality to the world, it feels as though we're talking to some lifelessness. It's interesting, I was asked this morning, I see in the bulletin we have Ezekiel, the story of dry bones, and Pentecost. How could those possibly go together? And it's funny that that question was asked this morning because Kimmy and I had a good friend over for dinner last night. She's also a clergy colleague, and she showed me a picture that her dad took of her church. They were setting up, they were preparing for this morning. But here's the photo of what they had in their church, and it really puts together, they're also doing Ezekiel and the story of Pentecost. Do we have that photo? The Revised Common Lectionary is what puts together these two stories. The story of Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones, and the story of Pentecost. But I think there may be a connection. Now, one of the things that I love about ancient Hebrew and the story of the Valley of Dry Bones is that it's not, according to Ezekiel, it's not God who calls out and says, all right, it's time for you to get up and live. God calls someone else to prophesy to the Valley of the Dry Bones. I'm not saying that God doesn't or can't do those things for God's self. I'm saying that I believe that God calls us. Yes, even when we feel like we're talking to lifelessness, even when we feel like we're just talking over and over again to a brick wall, God calls us to speak. God equips us to speak. And here's a particular connection to the story of Pentecost. The book of Ezekiel, written in Hebrew, talks about these bones can come together. This connectivity, the sinews, the connectivity, the connective tissue, the connectedness that we long for, the ability to move, the muscles and flesh. The protective layer, the skin, are wonderful and beautiful and miraculous, and yet they are insufficient without the breath. But again, in ancient Hebrew, the same word that is given for breath is also the word for spirit. In fact, in my Bible, there's a footnote right next to the word spirit. At the bottom, it says breath. I'm sorry, right next to the word breath, there's a footnote, and it says at the bottom, it says spirit. Remember who the disciples are and what their circumstance is. They had this horrific experience of seeing their mentor, their leader, someone who they identified themselves as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. They saw him brutally tortured and murdered. Then they experienced the wonder, the mystery of resurrection and his continued presence. And then what happened just when things were starting to look good? He left again. Can you imagine the disciples feeling the rumbling of the authorities who were pretty uptight about this Jesus character to start with, enough so that they killed him? Then the wonder at what might have happened as they told the story of the resurrected Christ, which only irritated the religious leaders and the authorities even more. And then Jesus up and leaves. Can you imagine their emotional state, their spiritual state? And then God breathes on them. God gives God's Spirit to them. And what I find wonderful about this story is that God gives them a new gift in the Spirit. Not only the Spirit itself, but the Spirit equips them to do something they've never done before. What I find interesting in this story of Pentecost is God doesn't say to them, the Spirit doesn't say to them, I'm a Trinitarian, I think they're both connected. God's Spirit doesn't say to them, remember those things that you've been doing the last three and a half years? You remember the way that Jesus changed the world and you participated in that? Look back at all of those things and do that stuff again, and that's how you're going to be people of faith. God doesn't tell them to do what they already did. God doesn't tell them to do what used to work. God's Spirit says, now it's time to do a new thing. Now it's time to be inspired, to speak in different ways, to tell the story in different ways. God tells them to turn and look forward and not to look backwards. And as we are part of an annual conference that has gone from 413 churches to under 400, as we are a part of a congregation that had an incredible heyday, and now we look around and we say, gosh, we wish there were more people here. How can we do that? I wonder if the message is the same. You cannot do it by going back to do what worked in 1970 and 1980 and 1990. That does not work today. You have to do a new thing. You have to speak a new way. You have to tell the story in a new way. You have to be new people of faith, equipped in new ways. How can we grow? How can we receive this spirit of inspiration and do things in new ways that cause people to say, oh my goodness, have you been drinking already? To be so remarkably outlandish and inspiring. Beautiful. And frankly, friends, things aren't necessarily as bad as we might think. Because we look around the room. We say, well, I've seen a lot more people in the pews before. But let's not forget about our friends who are worshiping online. Do you know that our average attendance here at La Jolla United Methodist Church well surpasses the national average? Did you know this? We have a graph. I like graphs. If you look, that really tall one is Easter Sunday. The almost as tall one, it's over 150 over to the right of that. That's when Mark Hayes was here on Sunday morning. Our average attendance so far this year, year to date, in person, 71.8. Online, 49.7. Giving us an average attendance of 113.9 year to date, this year, 2024. That ain't bad. And that's well over the national average that is under 100. Now, you may be interested to know, well, what was our average attendance over the course of 2023? And don't worry, I've got that number for you, too. Our average attendance was higher in 2023. It was 123.5. However, we're right around where we were in 2022, which is 114.1. And we still don't have the rest of the year that includes Christmas Eve. We're not doing too bad. But we also know that we're facing some changes. We're absolutely facing some changes, and we're facing some challenges. You have already heard the news that we're going to be saying farewell to our beloved Pastor Tara, who by so many accounts, I can't tell you how many people come to me and say, Pastor Tara is so smart and so compassionate and so dedicated, and she works so hard. You should know that people come to me and say these incredible things that, frankly, I already knew about Pastor Tara. Our staff parish relations committee, headed by Sal, will be making plans for us to bid a heartfelt farewell to Pastor Tara. Also, through the incredible work of that same staff parish relations committee, listening to members of the congregation and prayerfully discerning the best path forward, has notified the district superintendent that we will not be requesting a new appointment for an associate pastor. Now, on one hand, that means all y'all got to just deal with me. On the other hand, it means that we are going to have to collectively get to work. Because as we talked about, Sal, my plate is full. I cannot do my job and your job as well. I like to think I'm a pretty good pastor, but I don't think I'm that good. And so we have to decide. We have to decide, are we going to hire someone part-time or full-time to continue to care for children and youth? Because there is the question. We don't have as many children and youth as we'd like. Is it worth it to hire someone for those things? It's a question that's been asked directly to me. How will we move forward? I heard one voice say, you know, this has worked previously with volunteers. Maybe that's a way that we can move forward to serve, continue to serve children and youth in this congregation. I love that idea. But friends, I still can't get us a new finance chair. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to. We have identified three priorities for this congregation. One of those is growing children and youth. One of those is growing in connection, both inwardly with one another, but with our neighborhood and communities. And one of those is starting a new worship service, not touching this current Sunday morning, but creating something new for others who might not already be engaged in a faith community, who might want a different style of worship. And at the church council meeting where we talked about those three priorities, we passed around several sheets of paper asking people to sign up and help. Almost no one did. Friends, we have work to do. We have work to do, and it will take us all. We have work to do, and no matter whether we feel like, gosh, I've been doing something for so long already, or I just don't feel like I can add anything more to my current schedule, we have work to do. But here's the thing, my friends. I believe that God's Spirit reminds us that we are connected. when we feel as though we are the ones who were in the valley dried and used up. God calls voices to speak to us and says, look at the way that your bodies are still connected. Look at these sinews that can draw you together into a sense of community and joy and hope. Look at this musculature, this flesh that can combine with those sinews, those connections that give us strength beyond the strength that we think that we have. Feel protected by this layer of skin, this layer of hope, this layer of faithfulness, this layer of love that comes from the divine. Be protected by these things so that you can receive God's unending and undying breath and be inspired to do a new thing in a new way. Because I tell you, it's just like the prayer of Martin Luther that's written on the wall in my office. We cannot do this on our own, but if we do it together, and if we do it by God's Spirit, I have no doubt that God will do miraculous things in this place. I told someone earlier today, as we were talking about Pentecost Sunday, I said, my prayer every time I preach is that I can get out of the way so that God can speak. May we join together. May we join together connected in meaningful ways, strengthened and protected by God's Holy Spirit, and indeed inspired by God's Holy Spirit, so that we can be and do miraculous things. I believe with every fiber of my being that God can still use us and use us in new ways and use us to inspire our community and the world. May we feel God's Spirit move us to work. Amen.